Okay, so if you haven't heard the news yet, I've got a new book out called The Greatness Mindset. Unlock the power of your mind and live your best life today. It's coming out soon, and I'm pumped to invite you to be a part of the launch team for this book. This is a rare opportunity to get your questions answered and network with other champions of greatness in this exclusive community of conscious achievers. If you're ready to receive early access to the first few chapters of the book, behind-the-scenes updates from me, plus VIP access to bonuses and giveaways, then this is for you. For instructions about how to join this greatness launch team, make sure to go to lewishouse.com/launch team right now. Again, make sure to check it out at lewishouse.com/launch team right now.
Most of the people I meet that really want to make money often have a major fear of not having it. Do you understand how much more valuable you are than money? Just by saying money equals freedom, you're implying you're not freedom. Why is that? Because...
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Welcome to today's special episode. Over the last 1,300 plus episodes, there have been so many impactful interviews that I've been lucky enough to have, and I always like to reflect on some of the most powerful. And this episode was one that resonated with most of you guys in the past, and I'm excited for the value it's going to bring you today as well. So I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Most of the people I meet that really want to make money often have a major fear of not having it, which is weird because energetically you're putting out to the world, I'm scared of not having it much more than I want it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I find that this is a weird thing to say, but when you really want something, you're not ready for it. Mm. You're not in the alignment for it.
So true.
Right? Like, let's say you're someone who believes who you are is someone who makes $20,000 a year. Like, that's in your story. You grew up that way. You heard sentences like money doesn't grow on trees or it's the root of all evil. So you have these deep-rooted beliefs that you're evil, right, if you do this. So you have this thing going, and then that also is what drives you, bizarrely. Like, you're scared of that, right? So I work with so many people, and if someone offers that person $1 million, that's death to the story of who they are. So weirdly, you're going to be in this position where you want to take it, but you're scared of it, right? Because it's death to who you are. Mm. This is a reason I believe lottery winners go broke.
Yeah.
Right? So the book I wrote is called The Illusion of Money, Why Chasing Money is Stopping You from Receiving It. Chasing money has a very different vibration than receiving it.
Mm.
Right? When you chase something, you're saying, this is what I can see that I want. And if you can see what you want, usually it's through the eyes of the ego, because there's so much stuff you can't see.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here looking through this tunnel. This is what I want. I can see. It's that one person. That's the love of my life. I'm sure. That's my soulmate. Meanwhile, you haven't met almost everybody.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It's that much money. It's that stuff. You can feel this needy vibration. And I've worked with so many people who say, dude, I don't know what it is. I keep working my off. I keep trying to make money and I can barely pay rent. And I thought, what if
I've got no time, I've got no energy, I've got responsibilities, all these things.
And what if those are the reasons you aren't making any money? What if you're working your off is actually why you can't make money?
Mm.
And what if instead of working on getting money, you work on you and changing your vibration to leave the story that who I am is $20,000 a year? To leave the story that who I am is what my parents say. So if you go to a receiving vibration, the first thing you do is receive what's here. Like, it sounds corny, but we usually don't pay attention to what's here right now. Right now, you and I are here. Everything we think our story is, our accomplishments, our problems, are BS. We're just this moment.
That's true.
And everyone watching this, if you really understand the highest truth of what's going on, we're all even. There's no, this person is better or less, and there's none of that. We're just this space that's here, right? Now, from here, you have sky's the limit possibilities. But if it goes through the lens of who I am as this past story, this limitation, this person that tried to achieve it and failed, mm-hmm. is someone who gets love by failing over and over, right. is someone who has to stay small.
Significance by failing, right?
Right.
Because people start to say, oh, you're going to be okay. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you more time or money or attention.
Yeah.
Because you're not succeeding, right?
Right. You get all this, exactly.
People give you handouts or support you when you're failing.
Yeah, you get a lot of love when you're failing. Yeah.
Significant.
There's a lot of people that will connect to you. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people. And so we're going, if I become something, I won't get that sense of connection that felt like my mom.
Right.
That connection that I get with my friends or that person that I dated that actually weirdly feels familiar to my childhood right. that I now associate this as love. Meanwhile, the truth of you is this space right here. This sounds really weird, but this space right here contains all kinds of ideas. It's almost like we're an antenna and we can pick this space up and just sit and receive, first of all, the idea that we're enough. Mm-hmm. Like, what if there is no purpose to chase and you are purpose just by existing? What if you can't get out of purpose? What if that's not a thing to chase? So that's the first thing. Just say, okay, I'm in purpose.
Yeah, you are purpose.
And then that, the first thing that happens is that scares the part of you that says no. Like, I'm sure people watching this right now would go, oh, he doesn't know my story. Yeah, but that's your story, which is past. So it's fictional because there's no such thing as the past. Mm-hmm. So everything about you that you perceive about yourself based on past evidence is everything. Everything. Your family history, everything. It matters and it needs to be seen and loved and honored. We don't repress it. But you're the space right here that contains infinite possibilities and the space for that past. So when you realize that you're just this moment right here, and then do the actual work of connecting to it. See, most of us connect to the stories and connect to everyone's addictions online and connect to the problems. Mm-hmm. But what if you actually pay attention to this? Like, I spent 2 years, 2 hours a day listening to silence. All my old stories show up. And they're like, oh my God, I can't just meditate for 2 hours. This is crazy. And then they leave. And I'm just here. And then there's this silence that you hear. And after the silence is showing up, eventually it holds space for billion-dollar ideas, like mm-hmm. crazy possibilities. And the part of you that thinks, I would never be able to do that because my parents said this, is gone. Mm. So it's very easy to receive those ideas. So to me, what I find is that the more I can see what I want, the more it's looking through the egoic lens. And when I just go, I don't have any idea what I want, I'm just going to move moment to moment doing what I perceive as the highest vibration thing that connects me to the space for real, then you can hear this one, and it'll just give you one step, right? It just gives you, go for a walk. Mm-hmm. That's a leap, because usually we're like, yeah, but I need to look at my phone 400
times.
Gotta
work. Yeah.
Right? That's your old story that says every yeah, but is an old story. Every I can't because is an old story. It's not including the possibilities of different frequencies that are trying to reach you right here. You're looking through the lens of your limitation, right? So we can see it in little doses when you have those first moments show up that go, what if you started a band or moved to Italy right now? And then you immediately access something in you that made you able to hear that, but it's bigger than the story of what you think you are. So you immediately have to come up with a why that would be ridiculous to explain why you're ignoring your body. Mm. So a rule that I have is every time I'm justifying anything, I know it's not my highest calling. Like, that friend treated me like crap that one time, but they were really nice before. If I'm doing that, mm-hmm. I'm coming with a reason to explain why I'm ignoring my heart.
Yeah, justifying it.
Yeah. So
it's like why you hear women who are in relationships, or men, I guess, but you hear a lot of women who say, you know, well, he emotionally abuses me, physically abuses me, but he's there for me sometimes when I need him or something.
Yeah.
There's a but, right? But he's a good person inside. He's just messed up or whatever it is.
Right. So that to me right there is the difference between a calling, because a calling you don't justify. Like, I have a 2-year-old daughter and I never say, well, she gets good medical insurance. That's why I keep her.
Right.
You know, why I do this for a living. There's just no explanation for it. But we all know what it's like to have a job and be like, eventually they're going to promote me. What are you doing? You're explaining mm-hmm. why you're ignoring your body. And your body contains all the next steps.
Yeah.
And when you do something that doesn't move you from the highest you, you cut off the higher level of ideas, the impact on the world, the connection to the moment. And you're saying out loud, I'm this old story. So you stay in the boundaries of the old story by staying in that stagnant story, that stagnant relationship, that stagnant job, the place you don't want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with people a lot and watching them have these moments where they go, well, I'd like to live here, but, and I go, let's go. Right? I want to do this. Let's go. We don't know what's coming here. You're only scared, and I think I said this on your other podcast, but you're only scared because you can measure what you will lose. You can't see what you'll gain.
Mm, game changer.
And a thing I always think of is imagine if Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson or Oprah had enough justification to stay in a mediocre job in like 1981, right? So here's Michael Jackson, and he works as a manager at Applebee's, mm-hmm. right? And you're sitting here seeing this talent in him, and you're trying to tell him, dude, you should do other stuff. And he's wearing like one oven mitt. Why do I want one oven mitt? And you're like, you should do, I can feel an artist here. And he's like, I'd love to, but I got to make money.
Right.
Applebee's is going to promote me.
Right.
And you're like, dude, you're going to make money. I swear to God, there's millions in this. And he's like, I know, I hear your fantasy. That's really cute. I get it. I could be magical, but I'm realistic. Mm. And they call that realistic. That's not realistic. You know how many times people come to my events and go, dude, that's great, Kyle, but I got to live in the real world. And I go, what's the real world? And you know what it is? It's when they sit at home and come up with all the ways that it's going to go wrong,
which
is actually delusion and fantasy and fear. That's not the real world. What's real right now? Both our hearts are beating.
Mm-hmm.
There's a space here. This is the only thing real. The people watching, you're breathing. This is the only thing true. And we call this airy-fairy. Mm-hmm. And stressing all day and worrying about all the crap the news hand-selected to make you freak out is called the real world. Do you know how not scary the world actually is? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go outside, it's not just horror and what it looks like on the news. That's real, right? There's a lot of buildings not on fire today that the news isn't focused on, right? You can just drive down the street.
There's a lot of people that aren't being shot at today.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of families that went to bed safe and woke up in the morning, and no one cares because we go, this dark world is the only world. And I'm not saying that's not there. That's there and needs to be honored. But in saying that's the world, we're denying everything that's right in front of us, including the space that has all the information. This source, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it God. Some people call it the universe. You can call it your intuition. I don't care if you're atheist or Christian or whatever. This moment we all have, this is true. This is true. And then we never pay attention to it. We're crazy. And when you start meditating and listening to the silence, you see all these people that are just running themselves. And you just see it like this crazy illness. And then you're sitting here with all these insights. What if I create that? Boom, $1 million idea. This thing. And you're so fulfilled by the calling that when you do create money, you don't blow it on a bunch of addictions, which you only have because you're so out of alignment with yourself.
Yeah.
The only reason we have addictions is because we aren't connected to ourselves. Right? So here's all these people that are drinking and overeating and then have to spend more money at the hospitals because they're overeating out of alignment. And then they go to a job that they hate, spend 8 hours hating it, go home, hate that, watch Netflix all day.
Yeah.
And then overeat, go through the addictions again, buy the most expensive car to try to get laid.
Right. Right? Fulfilled, to have self-worth. Yeah.
And then here you actually are. If you connect to this moment, the real, not to be a cliche, but the internet.
Yes.
As I'm sure Beckwith said before or something.
The internet.
Right? This is real. You know? And so what this book is about is, and this is the galley, this is just the proof. I promise the copy you'll get is a professional one.
Yes.
But the book is about, we are so focused on making money. Almost every thought we have is, yeah, but I got to get rent paid next month. And we're sacrificing our soul for it. And my question is, if we're, instead of throwing away our soul for the guarantee of the illusion of money.
Or illusion of safety, right?
And yeah, a lot of people believe money equals safety. Yet, I can think of people that were broke, then made millions of dollars, and thought, what if I lose it? Mm-hmm. So they didn't feel safe. Or freedom, what if I lose this?
Yeah.
So you're under the illusion that freedom is outside of you. Just by saying money equals freedom, you're implying you're not freedom.
So you need, or you need to have something to have freedom.
Right.
Something external.
So what's the real truth? In my eyes, you're just freedom, but you've created an unnecessary route to get to what you are. So you said, finally, when I see $1 million, so you cut off the freedom that you are, or when I finally fall in love, you cut it all off. And then when I get it, now I can feel, I can give myself permission to feel the thing that I could have felt in the first place.
The whole time, the whole 10-year journey it took to get there, whatever it was.
Yeah. I put my own connection to source, myself, whatever, on the other end of this achievement. Now, my question is, what if you reverse that? Mm-hmm. What if you just start feeling the freedom that you are? What if you start feeling in love? Right? What if you start feeling the feeling? Because that actually is your natural state. I think Eckhart Tolle once said, falling in love is the real you, because it's the absence of you wanting something. It's the absence of you thinking something will make you happy. Right? You finally have a moment where you don't think you need something to be happy. So your giddiness has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with that you finally decided you're enough.
You love yourself.
Right. Because every time we control anyone or control anything or control any scenario, we're scared to have a scenario that we unconsciously, we don't understand, is in our body.
So
right?
Just be a monk in the woods and the mountains. And
well, one thing that was a huge change is realizing there's no competition, and everyone in my life, I want them to succeed.
Yeah, that's
that makes me really powerful.
That's been something that's been huge for me over the last, I would say, like 4 years, because my whole life as an athlete was, I need to win, and second place means I'm not lovable.
Right. Like, so here,
second, third, like last place.
To a parent? To what, did your dad teach you that or something?
No, I just think like, no one taught me that. Like, they were all, my parents were very supportive. Like, they wanted us to compete, but they weren't like, you suck if you're second. They were like the most loving.
Did you experience some trauma in your past when you were second, or see someone make fun of something?
I was just always made fun of.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm going to prove everyone wrong.
Right.
And yes. I'm going to be the best so they can't laugh at me anymore. I was picked last on a team, actually, when I was in fourth grade. I was picked last in school. Our class did a dodgeball. For recess, played a game, and there was two captains of the in the class, and they picked all the boys first, and then they picked all the girls second, and then they picked me last.
Wow!
And I remember being like, "Never again will I be picked last."
Right. So, do you see, even though it was successful and killed it, and you did amazing, that still fear of feeling something,
of course,
is your driver? Now, I'm a huge fan of that. And there's a higher even still.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Because if our driver is to not be bullied again in junior high, that's nice. But like, what happens if you just go up? You know, like, you don't have to create a... So ego does that. Ego creates a sabotage, and then it overcomes the sabotage it created. And I believe in this year and next year, I believe that consciousness is expanding to a level where these things can't not be seen. It's almost like... our consciousness is bigger. So it's like looking and rooting around in our bodies. And okay, like what you just described, like becoming number one to not feel that. I believe that was at one point the collective highest consciousness in like the 80s, 90s, right? We didn't look at our deepest, darkest things.
Maybe even right now it is with current politics. Who knows?
And so the old movement, and this is kind of what the book's about, is the old way kind of shows like, you know, in the 80s, it was this thing to like have 9 Lamborghinis and everything was about hype and, you know, get the Ginsu steak, like all, you know, and then The Secret came and it said, focus on what you do want, positivity, right? What I believe is the consciousness is bigger now. And instead of only focusing on what you want, I really believe the amount of what you can get is based solely on how much you can accept the opposite. So in other words,
so the opposite of what?
The so let's say you really want to be rich, it's based on how willing you are to be poor.
Wow.
If you want the ultimate relationship, it's based on how willing you are to be alone. If you can love being alone, you'll cry out your codependency, you'll cry out the old story, and then you create a space for that. But if everyone is ambitiously just trying to date, there are going to be two attachments that are stopping each other from their inner truth, so it won't land. It, it won't last, right? So, and it goes all the way to, you want the best life, totally accept death.
Wow.
To have the greatest life in the world, be completely and fully accepting of death. And the more you go, I'm fine with death, the more you feel free, right? It's weird because what we have now is a world of people who are really trying to put a million locks on the doors and protect themselves from a life they're not living. Right?
Right.
Like, I got to protect. I got to keep my freedom. I got to have all the weapons. I got to have all the stuff. That's nice. Do what you need to do. But are you living it?
For most of us, learning a second language in high school wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. And whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches 15-minute bite-sized lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Other language learning apps use AI, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Babbel's speech recognition technology even helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. In addition to Babbel's lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. My girlfriend is from Mexico, so learning Spanish has been a goal of mine for a while now. While I'm not down in Mexico immersing myself in the language, I dedicate some of my daily downtime to practice on Babbel. For me, it's all about daily practice, and Babbel makes it easy to stay on your game. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use promo code greatness. That's Babbel.com code greatness.
Because the more you live your life fully, the less fear you have of death.
You're not obsessing over like every lock and
right.
booby trap in your house and security systems or whatever. I'm not saying you shouldn't yeah. have security systems, right. but yeah.
But what if, ironically, that's what's like, if you, what I find is the more you live and you accept your darkness, like your strength is based on how much you accept what you call your darkness. Right? So I'm sitting here and I meditate, and in the meditation, light and dark show up at the same time. And who am I if I'm looking at both? So I'm sitting here holding space for light and darkness. So I'm now the space that can carry both. Usually we're avoiding our darkness, so we just have this capacity, just positivity, no negativity. But I'm like, what if we got this, right? So you're sitting here, and the more you accept your darkness, the more people aren't going to screw with you because they're scared of theirs. The people that we perceive as some of the most dangerous, manipulative, narcissistic people are actually, ironically, horrified of their own darkness. Right? So when you're shining a light and you're fine with all your truth and you're fine with everything, that scares the shit out of the manipulators.
Yeah.
So you start to get divinely protected the more you open your heart. See, most people think, I'm scared I'll get hurt, so they close their hearts off. And ironically, they close their hearts off to the most loving people in the moment right now. But what they actually attract are other people with closed hearts. So a people pleaser's got their heart closed, and they only attract takers.
Wow.
Right? If you're a people pleaser, you're scared, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, the takers see right through that.
And they take everything from you.
Right.
Constantly.
Because that's the match to what you're being.
Wow.
So if you open your heart, you're like, I'm scared I'll get hurt. Actually, you're getting hurt because you're not opening it, right? So life is trying to give us a ton of shit, but we've never seen what life's like when we're not constantly scared of our own darkness and achieving to avoid it. When you just sit there and love yourself, and I don't mean like confess everything to the world, like we think, so that means make a million videos and tell the world.
Right.
It's like, I'm talking
to you. Be vulnerable
you,
every moment, every, yeah.
Yeah. So you're like doing that, and now that's your addiction. Uh-huh. Like, look, everybody, I'm.
Well, you get validated from that.
Yeah.
I've seen that story too.
I'm talking you working through your stuff, and the biggest power you have is your own forgiveness, not for any reason other than to free you in that. You know, and then just completely forgiveness of others.
It's so key. Forgiveness is everything.
And it's so funny because as this book is about money, it's like you can see how much more abundance would you have? How many different types of jobs or entrepreneurial things would you create from that space? So as much as it's a book about money, it's a book about you, but I believe that's the highest way to money. So there's going to be people like a book about money, and then you read this, what's this airy fairy?
Right.
It's like you will not make money just from a bunch of strategies anymore. Just hearing manipulative tactics and strategies.
Well, you could make money, but it's not going to fulfill you the money you're making.
Right.
And you might, and you're going to lose it, or you're going to be a prisoner to it.
But it's also now not sustainable because
it's not sustainable.
Our, you know, we can see through such now that you, the more you sell from manipulation, the only one type of person that can't see that is going to get it. And you're going to get a bunch of refunds because it wasn't your heart. What's going to make money is authenticity. the universe working through you, doing something that's in contribution to the world for real, right? I have a rule that everything I do has to be a win-win-win, mm-hmm. and I'll explain that. Mm-hmm. A win is abundance for me and a fulfillment from doing it. The second win is, are they fulfilled, abundant, and more conscious? And third is, the world better because of it? So when I look at a soda company, that's a win, lose, lose. It's a win because you make money, lose because they're rotting their teeth and getting diabetes, and a loss because you're throwing plastic in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So that paradigm is going to fall because all three wins are inside of you. So if you're a win, lose, lose, you're two-thirds self-hate because it's in you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So a win, win, win has to be happening. So it's does the consciousness of the world expand? It's ironic because things that have been seen as like airy fairy or snake oil or whatever are actually the most legitimate. Meanwhile, soda and other crap is
incredible companies like top 500.
You're
in the world.
An amazing company. Thanks for selling such a legitimate addiction to the world, tooth rotting, crazy, horrible vibration lowering. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I get it, man.
That's the cult.
My challenge is, I'm like, gosh, I love pizza and ice cream so much. And like, when I was like younger, I was like, it'd be so cool to have like a pizza shop and ice cream like store. Yeah. But I'm like, God, that would just be hurting people.
Right.
So I need to reinvent like what pizza looks like so it's healthy, and reinvent ice cream so it's healthier.
And it's also possible the reason you like ice cream and pizza, not that it's not awesome, is because you liked it as a kid.
Absolutely. It brought me joy.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we had a place, and we still do in Washington, called Taco Time. Mm. And it was like a really good, like a amazing version of Taco Bell. But I used to go there with my mom.
Yeah. So it made you feel a certain way.
So I don't like Taco Time as much as I like connection with my mom.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So when I stopped going to Taco Time, I like cried for some reason. Why? But I'm crying my mom out. I'm crying my old story out.
Yeah. I used to, in Delaware, Ohio, there was like a ice cream stand. I can't remember what it was called. Something Depot. But it was, they had like this Smurfs ice cream. And my dad and I would always get it after like a T-ball baseball game. And it always made me feel connected to him.
I get that. And then like, I often unconsciously want to do that with my daughter too. I want to do the pattern with her. Like I learned music from my parents, mm-hmm. right? I'm a musician in certain ways and love, but I still love like Hall & Oates, Huey Lewis, like bands they liked and took me to.
Yeah.
Because I do love the music, but I also really love the connection that I perceive I'm getting. But the more you do the work, the more you see how crazy that is. The more
it's a story.
You're like, I just want to feel my dad loves me, so I'm going to play this Huey Lewis album. It's
a good
album.
Recreate that feeling.
But isn't that interesting? Like when we start to, once we become aware of that, once we hit the awareness of that, then it becomes insanity to keep doing it, right? So once you see, wow, this is one of the things meditation brings up. I can see the pattern that's chasing that thing so I can get a good job from my dad, or doesn't want to be abandoned again by my mom, or doesn't want to be last in sports, or doesn't
be laughed at or made fun of, whatever it is.
Yeah. Right.
Rejected.
I'm scared of the trauma I felt, so I'm going to do it again. Well, imagine if the other option is we see and hold a space for the trauma, and you now could be the parent that you always wanted. Mm. You now could be the parent for the inner child that didn't feel safe in the past. That's what I do. It's like whatever it feels. It goes, I feel unseen. I sit there and go, instead of me going, well, let's get you seen. That's the 80s response.
Let me tell a joke.
Yeah.
You let people laugh at me and whatever. Maybe.
I tell the inner child, like, imagine you're meditating. It goes, I feel unseen. I feel unloved. And you think it's because of outside, but take off the reason. I just feel unseen. I feel unloved. Then you close your eyes and you're saying to it, instead of fixing it or getting it loved, say, you're allowed to be unloved in my body. I'm going to be the first place that lets, it's fine if you're unloved in my body. Then you feel this 5-year-old you, for real, like dance around your body because it's finally seen. Because usually when you feel unseen, you chase being seen to fix it and keep not seeing it. Mm. It wants to be seen by you.
Wow.
Not the girl, not our parents.
Not the world or social media.
It wants to be seen by you. So every time you chase being seen, it's feeling ignored by you. So our job is to become a space to see it. And the second you go, I feel unseen, and it's okay. You can feel unseen in my body. It will move through your body. It will go chest over arm, whatever. And the more you go, you're almost loving it as it does that. It'll start breaking into pieces and it'll come out your eyes. Now, people go, that's great, but how do you make money? If you are fully on the highest vibration, do you understand how much more valuable you are than money? And how much more, remember, Buddhist monks, there's millionaire achievers that go to Buddhist monks all the time. The reverse never happens. Mm-hmm. There's no Buddhist monks going, how do I get the Lamborghini?
I need to make millions.
Yeah. Why is that? Because the highest thing we have, the number one asset we have, is our connection to ourself. Then most of us think it's money. So we make that the highest vibration, but it's not.
It's inner peace.
It's inner peace. Mm. It's this moment, and you have that available. And the best things in life are free is a very cliche sentence, but it's true. And that's true, but also we only pay attention to what we invest in financially. So we overlook meditating here, but if we could pay to meditate, we'd all of a sudden do it. So we have to understand that what is free for real will bring in everything else that you want.
Yeah.
I have a rule too with money that you might think is cool. This is a thing that I want to offer people. If you're trying to figure out how to create a space for money, I offer people to think about how they think about money. Like, think about how unconsciously you think about it. Like, you're never enough, you're the root of all evil, whatever. Uh-huh. Now picture that you're money on a date with you. And if you're on a date with a person who says, you're never enough, you're the root of all evil, you'd never want to be there, right? Well, money doesn't want to be in the vibration
you
of
reject
someone
that person.
Judging
it. Yeah. You reject that person, so you're rejecting money.
Right.
When you think that,
I'm going to, how else do we say, I'm going to use you to get someone to like me. This is how money is seen. So how could money show up if that's how you see it? Because you wouldn't stay with someone on a date that said, you're never enough. You're the root of all evil.
Right.
It's like, okay. So how would you like to be seen on a date? You'd like to be seen as, I love you no matter what. No matter if you're small or big, if you're off or on, if you're feeling like, I love you all the way. And if you can look at your debt or have $1 in the bank and go, I love you. Now you're creating a vibrational space for it to show up, because you're safe, because your focus isn't on money and how it needs to change. You're much better off because you're on how you're going to change.
Wow.
And when you start changing like we just did and looking at these things and not needing to overcome as much as loving it, now you're focused on the thing that actually creates the money. Remember, every dollar you've ever made came from you. So don't get excited about money. Get excited about you.
Mm.
Right?
Zing.
Like, if I went on a hike with you, we get lost in the woods. I round a corner, I'm not with you, and we find a waterfall. Mm-hmm. I find it. You don't see it. I fill a cup up with water. And I come back and I say to you, dude, a cup of water. What am I not showing you?
Yeah.
I'm showing you the small thing.
Yeah, not the waterfall.
Not where it came from.
The source.
The source of the water is the much more important thing. Mm-hmm. So none of us look at the source of where our money came from. Mm. We look at the money. So you're sitting here dwelling, not you, but people that we're dwelling on the cup of water.
Yeah. Not us being the source of creating more.
Every dollar you've ever made came from you. Get excited about you. Start the focus on what you are, not what money will give you.
And your energy is going to attract or repel more wealth. A lot of, a mentor of mine said, I was at a salsa club learning how to salsa dance, terrified out of my mind, and I saw a guy who was amazing, who was a public speaker. He actually got me into public speaking. And he said, the world makes room for passionate people. I think, money is attracted to passionate people as well, because people are passionate about life. They bring an energy, they bring a richness, a fullness, a richness, and they attract riches.
Yeah.
Whether it be through the community or the art they're creating or the business they're creating.
Yes.
And you're going to start to attract.
Especially in this time, because I know there's people watching this go, well, what do you say about all the greedy billionaires and blah, blah, blah? And what I say is, that's the old consciousness.
Yeah.
That there, in fact, we see through it and it's starting to crumble. Mm-hmm. So the old way of doing things selfish was a conscious shift, because I believe in like the 50s, everyone was just like a factory worker working for, and then it was like this breakaway where an entrepreneurial boom happened. So taking your focus off of the old story and moving into what you are and learning how your thinking changes things was the highest consciousness we understood at the time. So at that time, that created this old consciousness of your focus, you know, changes it. So you think positive, whatever. And that created it. And then we keep going and take a good thing too far. And then all of a sudden it's this billionaire thing. You can feel the most controlling mindsets crumbling. You can feel the suicides from the people that have made lots of money, but see that it's not the answer. You can feel the people that are controlling other people. All the control, as the control fell in you during this interview, as you said goodbye to the old story and kind of loved it, all control in the world is starting to fall. And the old structures aren't working. And what will work in the new century and the new future is the birth of this consciousness. This consciousness, following your heart, you will not be able to make money just from massive achievement. It won't work. I'm telling you, it's going to be too, we see through it. The consciousness sees through it. It's too small. When there's going to be a major influx of Martin Luther King's, Mr. Rogers, Oprah's, Wayne Dyer's, it's coming. Because we're so repressed that our hearts are going to springboard like the Renaissance, and there's going to be, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. You mentioned this a couple of times, and it reminded me of another mentor of mine, Chris Hawker. I was working as an intern for him for about 6 months when I was on my sister's couch, broke, no money. My dad had just gotten into an accident, a car accident that left him in a coma for 3 months, and he was kind of my safety net. He was my, you know, financial stability, where he would support me financially on things. And he always said, you know, when you're done like living your dream and chasing your football career, whatever it is, you can always come work for me.
Wow.
He had an insurance company, life insurance. And I did the whole like insurance internship and did the testing, and I almost failed 3 times on like getting my whatever it is, like the series something, whatever, the life insurance test that I had to pass so I could sell life insurance. I should have stopped after I failed the first time because I just knew it wasn't for me, but I did it so I could have this backup plan.
Wow.
And so when my dad got in his accident, he had to sell his company to his partner because he was no longer able to work anymore. And I didn't have the financial stability like I had before. So I was sleeping on my sister's couch for a year and a half, and I was working as an intern for about 6 months with someone that I was learning a lot from. And I remember at one point being like, man, I just really want some money. I feel like I've been working hard for a few years. Like I really could use some money. I'm not paying any rent money at my sister's. I feel like a loser because I can't contribute to her. I can't even get my own apartment. I'm just a loser. I was 24 at the time. I was like, man, I'm just a loser of a guy. And he said something to me that what you said. He said, money comes to you when you're ready for it. And I was like, I feel really ready. You know, I could really use the money right now. And
he goes, I didn't say desperate for it.
Exactly. We didn't say that, but he was like, it's going to come to you when you're ready for it. And when it starts to come, it's going to make sense. And I was like, gosh, I just want it though. I just want it right now. And it's funny because maybe a year later, it started to come. And then it started to really come pretty quickly, like 6 months to a year after that. And I remember reflecting a year and a half prior, I was like, man, I wasn't ready for this. Like if this would have came 2 years prior, I would have blown it. I would have been scared of it. I wouldn't have been prepared for it. Like I would have been so freaked out by the numbers in my bank account, I would have sabotaged it probably. Yeah. And so I really feel like it comes to you when you are prepared and ready. And sometimes it's not when you want it to be.
And when people say, how do you get prepared and ready? Yes,
that's the key. How do you get prepared and ready?
So for me, meditation like gets me to understand that I'm the abundance, not money. And the second you understand that you're the abundance, and I mean, understand it in your nervous system. I mean, don't just hear that sentence while you're still dying for it in your body. Like really be in the alignment of understanding that I'm the abundance. Wayne Dyer said beautifully, you know, there's a thing that everyone thought you don't attract, that you attract what you want. And Wayne Dyer said, you don't attract what you want. You attract what you are, what you're in vibration of. So if you want abundance, you need to get to a place where you understand your abundance. And everything comes into your life the second you finally don't want it. It's not don't want it like avoiding, like you don't need it.
Not desperate,
The second you stop looking for it, you don't even remember you wanted it. That's because you have to access the fulfillment of the connection to yourself first. And then weirdly, it's going to create, first of all, so many creative things, but you're going to just start, you're so aware that you see things differently. Like think of just that when someone's in their head, they're walking down the street on their phone worrying, you could pass a $100 bill and not even see it, mm-hmm. right? But when you're not in your head, you suddenly start to see all these dots connecting and everything meaning something different. And you see every moment as meaningful. Like last night, I was waiting to go into a restaurant. One guy recognized me and said hi, and we created a friendship because he's also a musician. That's cool. And then this four-year-old girl comes in and just sees me and starts dancing in front of me and showing me her toys. And I just had that moment was so much cooler mm-hmm. than if I was looking through wondering, you know, what is going on in politics. And
yeah.
that was fulfilling, that moment. And because that's fulfilling, and then on my way to the table, each step is fulfilling.
Yeah.
Now, this is more fulfilling than anything I perceive could come to me to make me happy. Once you actually have practiced understanding that this moment is more important than anything you think you want, now you are abundance, not money. And once you're abundance, it's impossible for it to not come. You're just going to start feeling safe to everybody. Yeah. They're going to want to hire you. You're going to get bizarre offers. They'll just say, can you help me through something? Can you create this thing? You'll get in alignment with your creative gifts more than your fix-it gifts to make money. You'll be in this higher thing. You'll be worth more. Better jobs will start asking you. You'll start to actually feel heavy when million-dollar offers are coming in because you're like, even that I don't want. And then it just, every time I say no to something, even if it's a huge thing, the bigger thing comes up. It's like, life's like, how about this? How about this? And then the only question I ask is, does this expand me or contract me?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Right? If it expands me, then I say yes. And I can feel that within 2 seconds. If I get to a pros and cons list, I'm already in contracting. Do you get what I'm saying?
Wow.
So a way that I always give an example is if you've ever had lunch, you ever have lunch plans with someone and then you hope that they cancel.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your highest saying, cancel.
Wow.
But you're used to living a notch below it. So you wait for them to do it. So that's what I'm talking about is the highest, what expands me. So it expands, you know, what expands me a lot is saying no to a lot of things.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. Saying no, like, God.
One of the hardest things to learn how to do, but then it's one of the most freeing things when you're in that space.
Yeah. Because there's times where you might think my highest is to go out and get laid or party, but it's actually like, really, sometimes my highest is to go to bed early. Sometimes, really, my high, like, it's not our highest to do what we're doing. Is it your highest to go on Facebook 100 times a day?
No.
But we still do it. So we live second highest and we miss out on the universe. Right? So for me, it expands me to be in alignment with the universe in that moment.
How important is developing skills and value? There's one thing of like being abundance and being acceptance and all these things, but there's another thing of like, okay, well, the person still doesn't have any skills that are valuable for someone else to give them money.
So you know what I mean? Crazy answer here.
Yeah.
That's a belief that they need the skills. So let me explain that. So let's first of all talk about value. Okay.
Value is perceived, right?
Sure. And most people think value is what their worth is based on what's in the bank, right? You could say that person's got a net worth of 20 million, whatever. Cool. Yeah. That's nice. But there's some people that could lose that money and remake it again in 10 minutes. Yeah, like Tina Turner, if her bank account got robbed tomorrow, could just go on tour and fill it again.
Yeah.
Right? Then there's some people who inherited it
and won
the lottery. And if that went away, they're still not valuable at that moment, at least, right? Yeah. So what's the cause of value? Is it how much money you have? Or is it what's under it, right? And what you understand is under it. The factor of value is, do you understand how valuable you are, right? So
how do you understand how valuable you are?
By creating the evidence of it, whether it's through leaps, whether it's... So for me, when I started saying no to really tempting things, it would be really hard that moment. Like, it'd be really hard. I remember when I was like, no dating for 6 months, and then like the Swedish bikini teams, like even us, and you're like,
you're like, no,
that's a joke. I didn't turn down the Swedish. But when you start saying no, it might be in that moment, but the next day you wake up and you're like, now even I'm someone that can say no to that. Like now I'm elevating myself above that temptation. So if I'm someone who can say no to that, you feel the force in that. So that's one thing. So there's a lot of skills I believe that we might need, but if they aren't your highest to do them, they're not a 10. And if they're not a 10, that affects all of what you do. My friend Glenn Morshauer says, if you pee in part of the pool, you pee in all the pool. So my company, my job in my company is to do this, is to go on stage, is to coach people, is to be the space, to co-write the book, to make the movie. I don't do the accounting, right? I have no idea how to do the accounting. Yeah. I don't give a shit about the accounting, right? I don't do the wardrobe. I don't do any of that. But there are people who it is their 10 to do that. So I delegate that, because if I did this thing that's a 3 energetically, then I'm going to average and bring that onto the stage. My energy will be more depleted because I'm doing things in my life that are like that. Same thing. If you're out of alignment in whatever area, you're bringing that into all of it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
So true.
So that's my answer to the skills thing, because there's stuff that we're just natural at. And most of us disqualify what we're naturally good at because it hasn't been done before. Mm-hmm. Right? They go, why would anyone want, just stay with it. Because that thing you have is new. That thing you have is calling to you. And it might not make sense now. But so many people I've worked with are like, well, one thing I'm passionate about is this, but I can't say, I'm like, stop the second part. The yeah, but's the old story. This thing you just said feels good to my body. Doesn't it feel? Well, yeah, but no one will make money. No, you're using the past story. Literally what this is, what we are is the universe trying to change the planet through you. Mm. The universe is trying to change itself to a higher consciousness through you. That's what's happening when we receive on a higher level. It's like higher level ideas come through. So when you meditate or whatever, you have an insight that's higher. That insight, you go, it's exciting, but you can't make sense of, you can't wrap your mind around it. Follow it. You're not supposed to wrap your mind around it. One thing people say is, I can't wrap my mind around it. You're not here to shove the infinite vastness of what you are into your teeny mind.
Right.
You're here to acclimate your mind to the vastness of what you are.
Zing.
That's the difference. You know, there's so many quotes that people say to insult people that live in their hearts. Like, this person went off the deep end. Mm-hmm. The implication is the shallow end is better. This person went over their head. Yeah, I'm using my whole body.
Right.
Right?
I'm not staying in my head.
Are you out of your mind? You better believe it. I'm in my heart.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's easier done than said. Mm-hmm. How about it's too big for your britches?
Right.
You're too big for your... How about we change pants and adjust to me versus me shoving myself in my old britches? What are we, in the 20s? Right? These old quotes that are... Every insulting quote, if you just reverse it, it's so funny how dumb it looks. Mm. Oh, dude, you're out of your mind. You're right. You're in your head. Right? It's like, you're thinking small. You better be out of your mind. I love to go over my head, so I have to use my body. Mm-hmm. Right? Because just my small mind can't grasp these concepts we're talking about. But my body knows it. Like, if you listen to this, you have to be listening from your body. You cannot listen from the small story.
That won't make sense.
In fact, this is very offensive to the small story.
Yeah.
Right? How dare he? I'm in this limitation. And most of us, instead of fighting for our freedom, fight for our limitation.
Gosh.
They fight.
Because that's a safe space, right?
Yeah.
It's safer being limited.
Totally. Well, it's safe. Ironically, it's not. It's actually the most dangerous place.
But it seems safer.
Yeah. But
we're
it's
more comfortable
familiar.
In that place. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, what we call a safe space could be an abusive relationship.
Oh my gosh.
It could be. It's just you're used to it. So because you didn't die, you go, that's safety. And everything that I've never seen before, I don't know that I won't die. So my body's scared of it. But the truth is, usually what the body's got is way better. And it will change your consciousness from here to here. And then you'll get this new calling once you're here to here. And you start moving up versus forward motivationally. You start moving in this different way.
Levitating.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is such a calling for me. And I'm so in a belief that we could create really rapid change immediately if we would start seeing our feelings. Follow the vibrational callings versus what you think you have to do based on the small story. The amount of change on this planet that can happen in like a week is so nuts. It moves exponentially. So when you're looking ahead and going, what's going to happen next year? You're not including all of this we're talking about. And you don't know how many possibilities are going to birth themselves really quickly. And how, if you're sitting here going, how am I going to pay rent in 2 months? You're backwards. Yeah. In 2 months, do you know how much you can do?
Right. Yeah.
From this place?
Yeah.
Versus from the small stories vision of what it can see? Right? It's crazy. I went nuts on this one. I hope you like it.
I love it, man. This is great. Your book is out, The Illusion of Money, Why Chasing Money is Stopping You from Receiving It. We probably spent 10% of the time talking about money and 90% of the time talking about the work it takes to actually start receiving it.
Yes, because
it's everything.
That's the factor.
That is the stuff.
And by the way, we have a thing right now where if you order the book on anything and you go to our website, I have a movie.
What's the website?
My website's kylecease.com.
Okay.
Or also evolvingoutloud.com. But okay. Right now, we have a movie that we've made, and it's about this. And I'm here to birth a new consciousness, and we all are. And
the movie's free if they buy the book.
If they get the book, you can literally go on Barnes & Noble or Amazon, get the book, grab the order number, go to my website, put the order number in, and right now you'll have the movie. Like right now.
The movie's all about, I saw the trailer for it. I'm going to watch it tonight, but it's a lot of the case studies of people who have these stories. The stories that they've been telling themselves for years, they grew up in, and the feelings attached to these stories and what's keeping people down from abundance of money.
Yes.
From what I'm understanding.
Yeah. Like, so there's several different stories, including my story in there. And a lot of my talking and gorgeous, beautiful nature shots and a reminder of what's really real. And these people that have these stories that did what they thought they needed to do to make money, mm-hmm. right? I better become a lawyer because I don't want to experience what my mom experienced in her childhood, and that makes money. So like there's a person that has that story. There's another person who had a good job at, you know, on Wall Street. Another person had a good job, you know, at Department of Water and Power making money. And then they did this thing where they like the girl, this woman, Sharon, she was at the law firm and not happy, but she started eating really healthy and felt so good that she started getting really, you know, high vibrational, feeling good, raw vegan type food. So she started making it for everyone in the firm, and then they all felt good. And it started being so fun for her that she couldn't wait to get home to go do that. So she realized that's her passion.
Wow.
And now she's more abundant, but every second she's in, she talks like I do.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
This is how we want to live. We can all live like happy.
Alive, not dead.
Alive. You don't have to be yesterday ever again. You can start now. Just close your eyes and meditate for a couple hours. It'll clear that out. I mean, you don't have to live in this stressful,
anxious
story.
Yeah.
It's a story. You're making your story your God versus God your God. Versus the universe versus the moment.
Well, I want to acknowledge you for a moment because you spent 22 years as a comedian pursuing a dream, living the dream that you wanted to live. And then you decided that wasn't as fulfilling anymore for you. And instead of saying, well, I've put 22 years of my life into this, is this my identity? I need to stick it out because look at all the work I've done. Look at the credibility I have. Now look at the success. I can't just stop and go do something else.
Right.
You did. You transitioned into something else and used that 22 years of skills into something else to help people with your events, with your meditation retreats, with your books. And then you've transitioned even more into another topic of money, which some people might be like, you're a comedian. Why are you talking about money?
Yes.
But I think you have a lot of wisdom around this from your experience.
And in the comedy too, the creativity.
Exactly. And so I acknowledge you for constantly reinventing yourself, pursuing ideas,
thank you.
Pursuing challenges that people might say, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Go be the funny guy.
Well, I love how that's my lane.
Right.
Like what I did is I'll say that it's funny you say that one thing that you pointed out is this thing. Well, if you've done it for a long time, I hear that so much. Like I've paid this much so far to go to this school, even though it's not my passion anymore, I should keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say you pay for a plane ticket to go from here to France, and in 1 hour it starts going down and you have a parachute available. Should you say, I paid for the whole flight
and stay on the
plane?
Yeah, no, you should jump out.
You need to get out of the plane. And our old story is often a plane going down. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we stress is we're attached to the old story. Your story is trying to die every day. Mm-hmm. And if you understood you're the moment, then you can be a space for the old story to be pulled from you. If the old story is what you think you are, you're going to go down with it.
Yeah.
Now, I have a theory that's really crazy, or there's a way that I see this. In a lot of cases, when a doctor tells someone you have 6 months to live, I believe that's your old story. In a lot of cases. Because there's sometimes they're saying, if you eat different, if you, you know, but then you go, well, who I am is someone who eats meat. So, no.
I'm addicted to sugar.
Yeah, yeah, so you'll go down with the story because you're saying that. But that's an opportunity to meet a new story. And a lot of times our old stories are the sickness, the pain, all of that.
That's true.
Right? So if you have someone tell you something like that, try a new way of eating. Try a new way of living. Live, you know, and it's ironic because a lot of times when people hear that, now they got nothing to lose, so they live fully. We see the greatest art of them.
Free.
They're free. They cry. They release. And there's many stories where that prognosis was wrong and they lived a lot longer.
Yeah. They heal. They heal themselves.
They heal. Yeah. So the just so you know, the only reason we stress is because we don't embrace death. And every day, parts of our stories are trying to die. I mean, our skin cells are doing this all day, right? Could you imagine if you thought you were yesterday's skin cell? So you're like packing it on your face.
Sure.
So death is part of life. And the more you embrace death, the more life you get.
Ooh.
Because a ton of your old story is trying to die.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you just chill and let it, you know, it's just like, and the old relationship might be trying to die. And the old story of who you were with your mother is trying to die. And the old job is trying to die. If we aren't holding on, there's no tree that like grabs its leaves in the fall and like, don't, this is me, and you know,
right.
There'd be no room for new leaves.
That's right.
You couldn't make new leaves.
New fruit.
No new apples. Yeah.
That's it.
Crazy, right?
Well, 2 years ago, you were on the show and I asked you this question about the three truths. And I don't know if you remember them. I don't remember them, but I'm assuming something new will come from you.
Possibly.
Because your old 2 years ago is dead and now you're a new person.
Totally.
So you might have some new insights.
Even my weight is different.
You're much thinner.
Yeah. I've lost like 50 pounds.
I know. You look amazing, man.
Yeah. And it's from this. It was not as much changing diet as much as it's the old story is trying to die. And the byproduct of letting it die was I didn't need to eat to feel connection to my mom.
Wow.
So once that died, I didn't have the addiction to food because it was an addiction to mom.
Wow.
You know, and connection.
Powerful. Yeah.
What were the questions?
So imagine, this is called the three truths.
Okay.
So imagine it's your last day on earth.
Okay.
In the physical space.
Okay.
And it's...
I do every day.
Right? Yeah. There you go. But imagine it's as many years away as you want it to be.
Cool.
You're 100, whatever.
Cool.
And
162,
and it's the last day, and you've finally got to switch off the lights in your physical space, and you move on to some other space.
Right.
And you've created everything you want to create. You've reinvented yourself every few years, written all the books, movies, whatever you want to do, you've done it.
Yeah.
But you've got to take it all with you. All the content you've created, all the art, bodies of work, it's got to go with you. So no one has access to your work anymore.
Oh. Okay.
But you have a piece of paper and a pen.
Get it off.
Or you have a stone that you get to chisel in three things you know to be true about all the lessons of your life that you would want to leave behind for us.
Okay.
As these lessons, these principles to live by. What would you say are your three truths?
You're enough right now.
Mm-hmm.
No question. When you let go of something, you're only stressed because your mind can measure what you will lose. It can't see what you'll gain.
I like that one a lot.
And the feeling is never wrong. The feeling is never wrong.
Was it, say the second one again so I can write it down.
When you're letting go of something, the only reason you're stressing is your mind can measure what you will lose, but it can't see what you will gain. That's actually something my friend Diego said to me when we were working together. He actually said that sentence. And I was like, should I let go of my Facebook? And he said that. I didn't let go of my Facebook at that time, but I thought that was profound and let go of a ton of other things.
Wow.
I now, this week, actually let go of my Twitter. I let someone else run my Twitter. And
how freeing is it?
It's like it's getting magic. It was like Sunday, and today is, what, Thursday. I have been in heaven because it also weirdly made me not interested in the news, and it made me not interested in anything going on. It stopped my Facebook and Instagram too. It was just like,
wow,
there's so much liberation and not check. Like, I'm used to scroll on Twitter and do this thing, and what am I? I don't care.
Yeah.
What aren't supposed to know everything else going on? It's
right. It's a lot of information.
It's a lot of suitcases we don't need.
Right.
You know? Oh, okay, that happened there, and this is happening in this country, and this politician's... Yeah. What am I doing? Yeah. I'm not doing anything with the information.
Just holding on to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it in your mind as opposed to having space to create or love or be.
And how much creativity and income are we not able to bring in? Because 90% of our day is filled with just facts of nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Like, I'm sorry, but like that happened. Mm. But in the old days, we weren't all informed of every area in the world.
Yeah.
And that probably, by the way, the informing of everybody is repressing us so much as creating more of the problem in the first place. Everyone's full of suitcases, so they're mad. And then they're lashing out on each other. Yeah. But like, just like connect to you. It's so much cooler.
So much cooler.
Yeah.
The illusion of money, why chasing money is stopping you from receiving it. This is going to be a game changer. Make sure you pick up a few copies. Check out the documentary. I really believe that when you stop chasing anything and you accept yourself, like you said in number one, that's when everything starts chasing you.
Yes.
And you can start receiving it.
Yes.
Receiving love, receiving health, receiving happiness, joy, financial freedom, all these things.
And one thing people say to me is, so sit and do nothing. And one unconscious belief is sitting on the couch, not watching TV, just sitting, listening to silence is doing nothing. It's finally doing something. Mm. Like you skirting around at a job you don't like is doing nothing. Right. Until we're now connected to what we are, right? So to me, to sit for a while and listen for a couple hours, a few hours, and don't interrupt it. Don't do this in the middle of it. Like, go a couple hours. You're not going to believe what starts happening. You go 100 days at a couple hours a day, you're free. You're free. You're abundant. It's different, you know? Is different. You start cleaning out the crap in the attic, literally and figuratively.
Yeah,
and
the emotional attic and the physical attic, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say for people, this book is cheaper. It's $19.95, and it will pay for itself over and over and over and over again, and it comes with the movie, too. So,
Kyle, you're the man. I love this. We got to do more of this stuff together. It's been 2 years since you were on, so we got to come back on for the next book about health.
Yeah.
Your next one's going to be about the illusion of health. I love it, man. The final question for you is, what's your definition of greatness?
Now. Just the now. Just the moment.
I love it, man.
It's the greatest thing ever.
You're the man, Kyle.
I love you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
That was fun. Thanks for having me again.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's episode with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me personally, as well as ad-free listening, then make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel exclusively on Apple Podcasts. Share this with a friend on social media and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Let me know what you enjoyed about this episode in that review. I really love hearing feedback from you, and it helps us figure out how we can support and serve you moving forward. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.